Welcome to the Discover You podcast, where we take a deep dive into who you are and why you do what you do. If you're ready to learn how to be a better you, you're in the right place. And now, the host of Discover You, James Hooper.
Vision is so integral in what we need to do in our life that gives us motivation. And so I want to ask a question. Do you have an extravagant vision? Do you have an extravagant vision? And when I talk about vision, I use this acronym BHAG, B-H-A-G. It needs to be a big, hairy, audacious goal. It needs to be big. If it's not a big goal and it doesn't scare you, it's not from God. I'm just going to put it right there. I'm going to challenge you today because I want you to understand God wants us to think beyond what we've thought in our past. We've gotten to where we started thinking inside our limitations, and our fears have created a boundary for us that we can't think beyond. But God says, I've got vision for you. I want you to see beyond that, and I want you to see beyond what you can imagine. So he wants us to do that. See, people need something. They need something to grab hold onto they can run with. In the church context, it's the congregants. They need something, some kind of a vision that they can hold on to. See, in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Well, the Message version says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. See, this applies not only to church. This applies to our family. If we don't have a vision for our family, see, this is going to be something that nobody's taught, but you need to have a vision for your family. You need to ask God to give you a vision, a purpose for your family, so that your family can work together in unity towards one goal. And I'm not talking about that every day you're consumed with, but I'm saying you have a purpose. Your family has a purpose. This is who we are. We have these values. This is our set of values. And this is our purpose. Everyone was put on earth for a purpose. This is what I do. I talk about purpose. See, I had someone a year or so ago, that asked me, what is something you've always dreamed of? What is something you've always dreamed of that you have not seen happen? And I had to think a minute, and all of a sudden it occurred to me, growing up, I've always had this dream of being a conference speaker. I mean, and I know some of you can't conceive of this, but I see myself standing in front of thousands of people. You know, the place where Joel Osteen preaches, I would love to speak at that place. I love sharing what God has given me. Some people it scares to death to be in front of anybody. But that's my vision. That's how I dream big. I think big. That's who I am. One time I told my wife, listen, if I can't dream, I just might as well die because I have to dream. We always need a dream. We always need a vision. And it's a God-inspired vision. From a very young age, I would tell my mother, I have got to be somebody. I've got to be somebody. And that was my immature way of saying, I need to be significant. I need to do something of significance. Something that will help, something that will change people's lives, something that will make an impact in this world. I have that inside desire. Every one of us have a desire to impact the world around us. And God wants us to be that way. We have the creator of the universe, the creator of all mankind living inside of us. His spirit lives inside of us if we're born again Christians. And so he wants to manifest that through us. So we need to give people something to look forward to, something, give them a purpose for your church, for your business, for your family. And personally, you need a personal vision. So for me, my vision is I'm going to be a conference speaker. I'm going to be speaking to thousands. Do I mind speaking here? Oh, shoot, no. You know how excited I got when I got asked to do this? Because I get to share, because it's in me. One of my giftings is teaching. In fact, my number one gifting in the motivational gifts is teaching. And I love to share information. And God gives me revelation, and so I have to share it. And so one of the things when he asked me, what do you want to do? What is something you've always wanted to do? And I told him, I wanted to be a conference speaker. And this is a gentleman that when I get together with, I call it visionating. We sit down and we just talk vision. We just feed off each other. There's a couple of people in my life I do that with. This guy and then my friend in South Africa, he's just like my brother from another mother. We get together and we talk, we think big. We start thinking big. We don't start saying, well, that can't happen. We just talk big. We just say, we're going to dream. We're going to dream. So he asked me about that. I said, this is what I want to do. He said, so if you were a conference speaker, what would you talk about? I said, purpose and destiny. Didn't even hesitate. Purpose and destiny. I believe everybody has a purpose. Everybody has a destiny. God created each one of us for a specific purpose on this earth. He said, do you have any talks about that? I said, almost every sermon I preach ends up on purpose and destiny. Do you have any specific? I said, yeah, I've got about 7 or 8 sermons that are talks that I've given. Okay, good. Do you have a book? No. He said, conference speakers have a book. Usually you have to have a book if you're a conference speaker because you got to have something for people to take home with them. No, I don't. Okay. I said, but I'll work on that. So he and his wife actually paid to create my own 501c3, my personal. I've got a 501c3. They paid to have it done. They actually did all the filings. They did everything. They invested in me. So what I did is then all of a sudden I had that vision again. And I thought, oh, okay, I know what I'll do. So when we, you know, some of you don't know, we actually pastored in South Austin for nearly 3 years. We reopened the church there in South Austin, and I just kept growing it backwards. It kept growing smaller. And so we finally decided, okay, let's quit spending money on this and let's just punt. And so afterwards, we had a couple of people that still wanted for me to teach them. So we had a Bible study at our house, and I thought, what will I teach on? Well, this motivational gifting teaching had affected my life back when I was 40 years old. It really opened my eyes to who I was. It was impactful in my, and I thought, that's what I'll do, is I'll put together, I'll do research, I'll take the teachings that I've been taught in the past, I'll do research, I'll do all this other, and I'll put it together. So I put together an 8-week series, and an introduction, and then I taught it in our house. For 8 weeks, I taught it. And after I finished teaching it, the two people that came to my house, they were impacted. They kept saying, this means so much to me. And I thought, okay, why don't I'll do an online class. I'll do an online class. So I had a friend of mine that had a church there in Austin. They had video cameras. And so he said, here's a key to the church. You come up here and you record it. Okay, so I go up and I get in there and I record. Well, the thing is the room that you're recording in is right next to a real busy street. The garbage truck runs there pretty almost every day, apparently. I don't know. It just seems like every day. And so I'm recording. I'm not hearing this stuff. I'm recording. When I go back to edit, it's all this noise and all this. I thought, that's not going to work. But then God made a way for me to buy my own video camera. So I bought my own video camera. I bought that one that I'm using right now. And I said, okay, I'll record. So I recorded it. I edited it, done all this other stuff. And so I found a platform that I could use. And so I launched my online course. I'm going to make hundreds and thousands of dollars on my online course. Nothing happened. Nobody knew about it. So I thought, wait a minute. I need a book. I said, this is what I'll do. Because I've recorded all these sessions, I'll just take the audio from those books, use a transcription service, let them transcribe the audio, and then I'll send it to a book editor. And see, this whole time, I'm driven by this vision. I'm going to be a conference speaker. I'm going to be a conference speaker, but I need a book. And I want something that I'm passionate about. And so I spent money. I spent, I don't know, about $300 to have it, you know, edited and that sort of stuff. And then I self-published it and I got that book and I published my very first book. I say first because I've got 3 in the works right now. Because one of the things that I want to do is I'm a teacher. I want to instruct people. I want to impart into people. That's what I want to do. Impartation is such an important thing to me because the way God sees me. And I'm here to challenge you to think differently this morning. So we want people to have a purpose so they'll have a purpose other than just coming to church just because that's what you're supposed to do. If they have a purpose and a passion about what's going on at the church, they'll come. If your family has a passion about what your purpose is, there's going to be harmony, there's going to be unity. I'm not saying all the time because, you know, Pastor E.V. Hill used to say where 2 or 3 are gathered, there the mess is. So you're going to have differences of opinion, but if you have a purpose, give them a purpose for other than living for themselves. It gave me something to do other than just existing, just living. So every morning, every day, I would get up and I would work on this. I would work on it. When I was tired, I would work on this because now I have a vision. This is what I'm going towards, this goal. And so what I'm saying is if you have a vision, if you have a big, hairy, audacious goal that it looks it's way too big for you, start where you are and start working towards it. You have this thing that's attracting you, but this is where you got it, what you got to do to get there. And see, I was going to do an online course and that was going to be it, but that didn't work. And then all of a sudden, somehow I just thought about, why don't I just have it transcribed? And the Holy Spirit will give you ideas and give you things to do. See, your vision may be real big and it may be that right there, but the thing is the path to getting there, you don't know exactly how the path is going to be. You're going to start wherever you can start. Start where God told you to start. Start where what is available to you. I had a pastor friend that had a video camera. I didn't have a video camera, and he gave me a key to the church and said, here, go record. So I started with that. Well, I couldn't use that video, because it had a trash truck, beep, 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 and it, so it's just distracting. And so then I thought, well, I need my own camera if I'm going to be doing this stuff, and I'm going to start a YouTube channel, I'm going to start a podcast, When you think big, there's all these things you're going to do. And so I just begin to do it. It just motivated me. If you have a vision, you'll be motivated to do something besides just getting up, going to work, coming home, going to bed, watching The Bachelor or whatever else you're going to watch. It'll give you something to do, give you a purpose. And so I'm here to tell you that you need a vision. And then Habakkuk chapter 2, this is, everybody has read this, but this is from the Message version. It says, and did God answer? It says, write this. Write what you see. In other words, when you have the vision, when God gives you a vision, you need to write it down. Because goals that aren't written down, it's just a dream. So if you have a vision, you have a dream, write it down. And then begin to think about what's the first steps I can do. It says, write this, write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. In other words, make a billboard out of it. Yeah. Put a billboard so the people that are going 90 miles an hour, like Brother Kelly, they can see it. People that they live on full throttle, they can see it. That's what God wants to do. Make it plain. When you have a vision, when God gives you a vision, write it down. Put it on your mirror. Put it on the refrigerator if that's the most common place you go to. Wherever you need to go, put your vision down so that you can see it, so that those around you can see what you're doing. I will caution you this. Be careful who you share that vision with, because remember Joseph? Joseph kind of shared his vision with the wrong people. However, God used it, but he shared it with the wrong people. He shared it with his brothers thinking, see, look, y'all, I'm the youngest, but y'all going to bow down to me. That didn't bode well with the brothers. So you can share it, but share it with people that you know are going to encourage you. I began to talk with this gentleman that helped me, that asked me what I wanted to do. And so he said, so how you doing? What are you doing now? What are you doing towards your goal? And so I tell him what I was doing. I'm working on this. I'm working on that. When I came out with my book, my mama was the first one to get a copy, and he was the second one to get a copy. Because mama had to be first, you know. So, it's just working towards the goal. And see, God wants us, the way we get vision from God is God wants us to use, and this is going to knock some of y'all out, God wants us to use our imagination. See, so long people think that imagination is of the devil. Imagination, that's going to get you in trouble. But if you are a born-again believer, you have an imagination, and God wants you to use that imagination. Let me give you this. If you have faith, if you're trusting God for something, faith is the evidence of things not seen, confidence and hope, things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you have faith, when you encounter obstacles against what you're believing God for, how your emotions act is how your is the sign of your faith. It's the sign of your faith. Because what you do is when you believe God for something, you begin to, and I pardon this word, but visualize. Start visualizing that thing happening. Now let me tell you, there are some things that the New Age movement have taken truths and they've taken them to the wrong area, but God designed them. God designed our imagination. He designed us being able to see, because God says, He told Habakkuk here, look, write what you see. And we're not always going to have a vision come up, a movie screen come up in front of us. God wants us to show us through our spirit and let us see what's happening. So if we will get our emotions attached to what God has shown us and what our faith is and believe it and see it and believe that it is happening. Mark 11:24. If you believe, you receive it. If you believe, you will receive it. And so you believe on that thing. You visualize that goal, that vision. I'm here to challenge you today. Get a vision for a goal. Now you say, what if I have such a big goal and it doesn't work? See, a lot of times we always think about the worst case scenario. Well, okay, let's go there. What if it doesn't work? I'm going to read an excerpt from a book. It's called Live 10, A Jumpstart, The Best Version of Your Life by Terry A. Smith. In the 1960s, Scott Paper dominated the paper-based marketplace, but was instantaneously booted into second place when Procter & Gamble stormed Scott's proverbial castle and took over the number one spot. Scott Paper apparently stuck its tail between its legs and accepted the new, lower rank. The ambience of the company was generally depressing, and the flicker of morale was quickly stamped out. The leaders seemed to give up without a fight. However, another competitor in the industry, Kimberly Clark, saw an opportunity to battle the giant and win. The company was convinced that fierce competition would motivate employees to create new ideas, products, and strategies that would give them the edge over Procter & Gamble. They imagined becoming number one. In one of the most memorable meetings in the company's history, the CEO of Kimberly Clark stood up and announced a moment of silence. When the silence was over, he declared, "That was a moment of silence for Procter & Gamble." Everyone went wild. It was no coincidence that Kimberly Clark moved into its future with an unwavering faith and ultimately secured the top position in the paper business. This is called unwavering faith in amid the brutal facts. The author goes on to say, we need to stand in the middle of our battles and have a moment of silence for our enemies. Have a moment of silence for obstacles that try to defeat us. Have a moment of silence for the fear that tries to dominate our spirits. Have a moment of silence for the sickness that tries to take us out. In Psalms, David wrote, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me, and his tabernacle. At his tabernacle, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music. Whenever it looks like you're going to fail, you need to.
Hey guys, I just wanted to break away for a quick moment to remind you there are two different ways that you can actually help sponsor this podcast. Number one, you can go to the website for the book, the Discover You book, and the website is discoveryou-book.com, discoveryou-book.com. There's a link that will send you to Amazon, and for $9.99, you can have your very own copy. Secondly, in the description of this podcast, there is a link that you can click where you can go and set up a monthly monetary donation. Any amount would be great. Any amount would help us. So please consider sponsoring and help joining those that are already supporting us. I appreciate you guys for listening. And now back to the episode.
Pivot. You need to pivot. See, the thing is that sometimes God gives us a vision and the way we see it is kind of linear. We see it the way we've experienced things. We look at life the way we've experienced it. But when God gives us a vision, He wants us to understand, listen, there are things and ways I can accomplish that you can't imagine. But like my daddy always said, the Holy Spirit can't guide a parked car. The Holy Spirit is a guide. And so if we begin to go a direction, put that thing in drive, start going, take the step, whatever analogy you want to use, just start. And let God guide you and direct you, and then He will take you in paths that you didn't know of, and you will see the ultimate end. And it may not look exactly like it, but you're going to live a fulfilled life because you are living what God burned in your heart. I want to tell you this, what I'm doing now is the most fulfilling things that I've ever done in my life. Being able to speak when I preached here a while back, anytime I can get up and share, it is the most fulfilling thing I've ever done in my life. For years, I was working in the corporate world, and I would get a chance every 4, 5, 6 months to go preach. And I would go preach, and we'd get in the car and start leaving, and I'd look over at Sharon, and I'd say, that's what I meant to do. Now I got to go sell insurance. I don't care if anybody ever has insurance, that's what I want to do. But I still had to sell it, still had to do it. But God has made a way for me now to pursue this, pursue my calling, because of the fact I started making decisions based on my calling, based on my vision, based on my purpose. I started to make life decisions based on my motivational giftings. When I discovered who I was, I started making decisions on them. Is this opportunity in line with who I am? No, so I don't do it. And every opportunity that comes my way, it may work out, it may not work out, but I'm going to go through that door. I've gotten my nose smashed several times going through doors of opportunity because they weren't the right doors, but I was going. See, God, I'm not going to say He doesn't have patience, but God wants us to be active. He wants us to move. He wants us to go forward. He says, I'm taking you from glory to glory. He never says, I'm letting you kick back. See, God will let you stay in your comfort zone, but He's not obligated to do anything for you there. You can stay in your comfort zone, and God will let you stay in your comfort zone, but He is not obligated to do anything for you there, because you're not walking in faith. You're not walking in believing God. You're not living with your vision in place. Babe Ruth said, yesterday's home run won't win today's game. Amen. So you've got to take today and what God is doing today, what He puts before you today, and you've got to pursue that. Don't look at the past. We can learn from the past, but we don't live in the past, because if we try to go forward looking in the past, we're surely going to fail. We're going to stumble over everything. But if we learn from the past, and there's a reason why our car has a windshield as big as it is and a rearview mirror as small as it is, because we're supposed to look to where we're going and just kind of glance at the past to see what we've learned. We learn from our past. Irwin McManus, a pastor and author, says, we can't allow ourselves to be formed by what has been done or what can't be done. We must be formed by what must be done. So when God gives us a vision, when we have a big, hairy, audacious goal, when God shows us something that's beyond what we can accomplish, He does that on purpose because He wants us to see what needs to be done and live on what needs to be done. Not what has been done, what can be done, but what needs to be done. Keep that vision, because God will provide for those that are following the vision. Those that are pursuing the vision that He gave you, God will provide, because He built us to do that. He built us to dream. What other species on this earth can build tables, can make tables? What other species? You don't see dogs and cats out there saying, wonder what I can do with that wood. Could I make a cabinet out of it? No, you don't see them do that. We're the only species on this earth that can dream. And see, God didn't make tables. God made trees. And He let us dream and find a table out of that tree. So understand this. God's not going to give you everything you need, but He'll give you something that can make what you need. He'll provide for you, but it may be some way that you don't see, you don't understand. I'm getting beside myself here. See, don't do what worked for others if it doesn't fit in your context. See, I noticed, of course, I'm going to talk about this because I was born on a Friday, and on Sunday I was in church. So I'm a church boy. I've been in church all my life. And this is what I see happening is pastors and preachers and worship leaders and Sunday school people and all this stuff, they'll go to these seminars. And they'll go and they'll see what somebody did, and they'll say, that's what we're going to do. and they'll take it and they try to fit it in their context. The thing is it's not built for you. That's there to give you vision what can be accomplished. But what you have to do is you look at your context. Look at what has been accomplished to inspire you and see there's some ideas you can take from that. There's some things you can take from that. But you can't apply everything that you saw to your environment. But you look at your surroundings, look at your community, look at your family, look at your, and see what it's like. I mean, you can't take something that works in Austin and apply it to Brownwood. Believe me, I live in Austin. They're two different places. They're two totally different places. I live in San Marcos, so I'm not in Austin, thank God. But I love Austin, but I like San Marcos better. But see, we can't apply the same things that were, because it's different. It's a different culture. It's a different society. One's not worse than the other. One's not better than the other. I'm just saying every culture is different. Let me approach this. I've got so many things I've got to say, and I'm trying to wrap it up. Just because you're in a remote community, a rural community, does not mean that people are out of touch. Because you can go to all these little towns. I left early so I could drive through some parts of the country I've never been in. Drove through Llano and San Saba and all this other stuff. I've never been there. I'm born and raised in Texas, but I was born north of Dallas, so I've never been in those places. But I drive through some towns that, you know, population 315, stuff like that. But you know, probably 99 or 98% of those people, they got one of these smartphones. And they can see what's going on anywhere in the world. They are connected with the world now. They're connected with the society in the way that that culture has never been connected before. They are connected in ways, and so we can't approach it in a way that, oh, these people are backwards, they don't know anything, because they're more educated than you know now, because they've all got the dish, and they're watching the Kardashians, and they're all this kind of stuff. Though they live in this remote community, they know. They know stuff. So we need to approach each situation knowing that we can't use this excuse, well, it won't, nothing will work here because these are just backward people. No, wait a minute. You can use whatever God tells you to use, and don't limit it to where you are. Do what God tells you to do. So I wrote the book, and with the video, I actually started a YouTube channel, and I started a podcast. And so, you know, I want to speak to thousands. I want to speak to thousands. So I started my podcast April 24th of last year, so we're almost 11 months into it. I've got over 3,000 people have listened to my podcast in 11 months. 3,000 people. I've never spoken to 3,000 people. I spoke to a little over 500 when I preached my daddy's funeral. But I've spoken to 3,000 people via podcast. And so I was interviewing a pastor that is going to be on next month. I'm revamping the podcast. See, that's the thing about it. It was evolving too. I tried everything. I put those 8 videos from the teaching, and then I started just talking stuff, and then whenever I'd go preach, I'd video it, and I'd take the audio, make it podcast. So I was trying everything. But the interviews, I did an interview with my mother. That was the most listened to podcast, because I was doing talking about the subject of servants in the motivational gift. And my mother, if I could put her picture in the chapter called Servants, that would be my mother. Because my mother, being a pastor's wife, but it's just her, it's not just that she's a pastor's wife, but my mother is a servant. I mean, and she's 74 now, and she's just now starting to slow down a little bit. Not much, but just slow down a little bit. But she lives to serve people. She lives to serve people. So it was an interview. I did an interview, and that was the most listened to podcast. Then God blessed me, and I was able to actually interview our general bishop for the PCG. I just asked. I mean, the worst, they can't kill you, that's illegal. So I just asked, and he said, sure. He did our district convention, and Sharon and I did some worship, and so we had a little connection there. So I said, would you mind if I came to your office and interviewed for my podcast? I mean, I only had, you know, 30, maybe 30 people that would listen to the podcast at the time. And he said, okay, sure. So I took my, you know, put together gear that I had, and I went up there to his office, and I put together a podcast, recorded, interviewed him. See, God opened doors for me. And so I found out that the interview thing was better for my podcast, because what I'm doing is I'm interviewing people about their story, how they came to know what they were called to do. And so that's what I did with the bishop. I asked him, I said, how did you know that you had these leadership skills? Where did you find this? And he started telling stories. Started talking to my mother. I talked about, how did you know you were a servant? And how did you... And so people just loved it. They listened to that. And so I've decided that I'm changing it from just putting my sermons on there to I'm interviewing people. So starting in April, the first week of April, Bishop Jane is going to be my first one. And you got to listen to that one, because I learned a lot from him. It's interesting how God brought him from where he was in Pennsylvania, coming back from Europe with a wife and kids, and brought him from Pennsylvania to the coast of Texas, and then now he's the district bishop. It's interesting. You got to hear his story. So I'll tell you how to get to there after a while. So then I've interviewed Brandon Sanders, Captain Rex. Those of you who know him, I interviewed him. Oh, that was an interview, because he's animated anyway. But it was phenomenal. So these things, I'm doing these interviews, and it's just getting me so excited, because I'm getting all these stories. I'm getting all these things from people, and it's exciting. And then a pastor in Elgin, his name is Jerry Edmond, and he's kind of my spiritual father now that my father passed away. And so I interviewed him, and he talked to it, because he is, if I could have put his picture on the encouragement chapter, I would have put his picture, because he is the epitome of encouragement. In fact, I mentioned him in the book, not by name, but I mentioned him in that when you come into the room where he is, he acts like you are the most important person that ever walked in the room. And you know better, but he treats you, you feel like you're so important to him. And oh man, I've wanted to see you so long, blah, 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 blah. And he's got 15 people waiting to talk to him after me. But he treats you like you're the only, and you walk away and you feel like I'm somebody. That's an encourager. And so I interviewed him, and he cried almost through the whole way, talking about how good God is to him. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is good stuff. And then I had an interview with a woman that's a friend of ours. She is the town where my brother lives. My brother is the mayor pro tem, but the mayor is actually an old family friend of ours, and he was one of my dad's spiritual sons. But he didn't have a great life. But then he married this woman. Let me tell you, women, y'all have some power with your man. He had an aimless life. He'd been married several times, was living aimlessly, going from here to there, had several heart attacks and all this other stuff. But he married her, and he upped it a notch. Now he's the mayor. He's a prophetic. He's trying to pastor the whole community. But they were down in San Marcos, he and his wife, my brother and his wife. They were going to a meeting of mayors or something there in San Marcos. So we went out to dinner with them. And I saw that his wife had actually spoken to the Methodist church there in town where they are. I said, I saw you told your story. What's your story? She said, well, I had an abortion when I was 17. Oh, okay. I didn't know that. So I said, can I interview for my podcast? She said, sure. So I interviewed her for the podcast, and it's just a phenomenal story of how God redeemed that, how God took that and turned it around. Now she's successful in her, she's got great kids, she's successful in her industry, and she's the mayor's wife. She's on the school board of that city. So see, it's building and building. And so this pastor that I talked to, Jerry Edmond, he prophesied over me. He said, you know, he says, because every time anybody asks me what I'm doing, I said, well, I'm writing and I'm doing a podcast, kind of like, well, I'm kind of killing time. He said, let me tell you something. I said, okay. He said, I feel like that this is your purpose. I feel like this is your calling. And when he did that, it woke something up inside of me that I did not know was there. And all of a sudden I said, yeah, that's it. Because I've tried to be a pastor. I may be a pastor again. I don't know. I don't know. But this, I love this. I can get in front of that mic in the room by myself, and I just lose all consciousness of time, and I just talk and I share. And I get in these interviews and the questions just flow, and it's just something that happens to me. And I love it. I get the feeling exactly like I'm feeling now. So I said, this is what I'm pursuing. This is my calling. This is my gifting. He said, you're going to be reaching people that you could never reach. And all of a sudden the Spirit said, this is going to be your opening. to get into the conference speaking. And I just went Tuesday to hear this pastor preach. In fact, any of you that come to the convention in the summer, our conference in the summer, he's going to be one of the speakers. You don't want to miss Jerry Edmonds speaking. But he actually prophesied over me. He said, you're going to be breaking boundaries. You're going to be breaking boundaries, religious boundaries, things that religion has held people to. And so that inspired me, because I said, I'm coming here and I want to open people's eyes to the possibilities. Just because you're in a small community or you're in a small work or just something small, listen, God did not mean for everything to stay small. If it's healthy, it's going to grow. If it's healthy, it's going to grow. Growing things change. How many have seen kids? As they've grown up, they don't stay that little cute little baby. You want them to stay a cute little baby, because then you've got a little control, but then they get to be 2 years old and you have no control. And then they get to be 13 and then you got less control. But they change. Healthy things grow and growing things change. And that's with our family, with our life, with our business, everything in our life. So when God gives us a vision, we've got to be willing to do what God tells us to do, go where He tells us to do, be willing to change whatever He's asked us to change, approach it differently than we've ever approached it in our life. Because God wants us to understand, you have a purpose on this earth. Every one of you have a purpose on this earth. And it's a grand purpose. And there's greatness. I'm not trying to blow smoke at you. I'm saying there is greatness inside of every one of you. Why do I know that? Because the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. So greatness resides in you. And we should be the most innovative people. We should be more innovative than the world. We should be more cutting edge than the world. We should not be copying the world. We should be leading the world in everything that we do. Just if you can hold on to that, I challenge you, hold on to that. But remember, John Maxwell says, anything worth having is uphill. Anything worth having is uphill. It's going to be a battle, but it's worth the battle. It's worth the struggle. If you keep the vision before you, write it plain, put it in big block letters where people running 90 miles an hour can see it, where you can see it no matter what you do. Put it before you, ever before you, the vision that God has for you, and you live with a purpose and you're accomplishing something, and just watch what God does while you're doing that.
To Discover You with James Hooper. If you haven't already, please subscribe wherever you like to listen. You can also follow us on Twitter at DiscoverYouPod, or you can email us at DiscoverYouPod@gmail.com. Discover who you were meant to be.